Have you got a reason to smile?
Amen.
And not just because he sang an upbeat song, right? The reason to smile is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. So Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with a warm building that has heat and running water. And Lord, we just often take those simple things for granted. But Lord, this morning we're just grateful to you for thinking of us even in the smaller details, loving us in the smallest ways. So Lord, we just praise you this morning. We honor you this morning. And Father, as we move to our time of worship, if our hearts and our minds are not already prepared and not already set on you, I pray that in these next few moments, that's what takes place. Lord, help us to see you. Help us to worship you this morning. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. It's in your mighty and powerful name I pray. Amen. One of the things that we always do each year is we acknowledge and we recognize and we celebrate what this month is, but specifically what this day is all across our nation. And what this day is all across our nation, does anybody know? Sanctity of Life Sunday. But the actual month of January is Sanctity of Life Month. So one of the beautiful ministries, great ministries that we're involved with, we have a few folks through the years that have volunteered. Carol, if you speak to Carol any at all, you can tell that her heart is in this ministry. And she was actually not feeling well this morning, but she was going to share her testimony of how she ended up at FCC. And I don't know the whole story. I just know she went there to drop off some things and then maybe just check it out. And here we are several years later. She's one of their advocates. Okay? So to kind of piggyback off what Tim said, when you let God just kind of control things, you just never know where you'll end up and what will end up happening. And I just want to tell you this. God's got the real you in store. And that's coming. That's coming. And we're going to celebrate when you graduate, by the way.
They came here to give a presentation and they had a little basket for donations, and so she was putting something in the basket and God said, you need to get in the basket.
She probably said, I don't fit, right? So Foothills Care Center, Many of the churches in our county, many people in our county support them. We do monetary support. We have people who work there. We take up collections for them. By the way, there's still some baby bottles on the table. If you want to take those home and fill them up when it gets full, bring it back and set it on the table. And guess who will make sure it gets to them? Miss Carol. Normally, in the past, we even had them come, like Brian just mentioned, and speak to us. This morning, they were booked at another church. They booked those things months out. But they did send us a video. It's about 2.5 minutes long. If you're not familiar with Foothills Care, this video will kind of help you get more familiarized with that. If you need more information about Foothills Care Center, we have a table out there. It's got tons of information on it. And if you come back and you meet Carol, ask her, and she will fill you in. She will, because I'm telling you, when God puts you where you're supposed to be serving, he also brings with it that passion for that ministry. When you talk to Carol, you'll see that passion for this Foothills Care ministry. And aside from that, they just do great things, y'all. Just great things in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So by that last slide and through that video, you can see their passion. And their passion, when we talk about sanctity of life, lies in what? Conception to birth, and then those few years after that. But you know, God is concerned and cares about all parts of life. From conception to what? Our last breath. Our last breath. We live in a county that if you look around, you'll find other ministries, Christian-based ministries that love on people, and they love people because of God and because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And FCC is one of those. Council on Aging, there's as you get older, there's people there. And guess what? There's all types of ministries that help us in between, to include churches, to include, you know, programs that are offered for people with addictions and offered with people who are struggling in relationships. There's stuff out there that God has put in place to, guess what, help us live in this world. And you know why those things are there? It's as simple as saying the reason we have today and the reason this month is set aside as sanctity of life. God values life. He created us, and we are the greatest of His creation. So you say, well, why do you want to point that out, Pastor? Because when God sees you, He sees something that's more valuable than gold or diamonds or money or any of that other stuff. When He sees you, He sees a person that He created. And because He created you, guess what? He loves you, and He cares for you, and He values you. And I'm not just saying that to give you lip service. It is true, folks. It is true. When John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," that's what the beginning of that verse is talking about. Not the world. What that means is, when "For God so loved the people that He created," because this world, guess what, was made for us to enjoy. We were made to worship Him and to honor Him. And He loves us for that. He loves us for that. So today, one of the things that I want you to leave here and take from here is, we've been talking about worship, right? One of the best ways that we can worship God and honor God, guess what, is when we do what? Love people. So, you know, it's hard sometimes to love people, isn't it? You think it's easy for Jesus and for God to love us all the time? I think sometimes they look at us and go, What are you doing? You know? So they understand. But guess what? We honor Him and we worship Him when we act or emulate Him. You say, and I use the word act. It's really not an act, is it? It shouldn't be. It ought to come from here. It ought to come from the heart. So, hey, FCC, if man, they got a campus. They call it a campus now. They got an office campus in Seneca. They have one at Clemson University right near there. And then they even have a mobile unit that goes around to do the ultrasounds. So if you're interested, hey, information out there, call them up. You know, maybe the Lord will speak to you the way that He did to Carol that day. And you never know. You may find yourself, I still laugh at Carol talking about learning how to drive that bus, right? And going into one of the communities on a gravel road and wondering if she was going to ride in the ditches and be able to turn it around. Who knows? The Lord might have you driving that bus one day. He might have you driving that bus one day. So, Sanctity of Life Month is every January. Today is Sanctity of Life. So as you go out and you leave from this place, if anything resonates with you, just know this, that God loves you despite who you are. And we, as His followers, need to do our best to try to treat people that way as well. And I think He will be pleased by that. I think He will be honored by that. So I'm going to transition to talking about worship. Let me just start by asking this. Sometimes I get interactive, by the way, for our visitors that may be here. What I mean by that is I ask questions and I want you to respond. Sometimes I ask questions and I don't want you to respond. But this morning, I want to ask this question. I want to see how you respond. If I ask you to define worship, now, hang on, don't do it yet, with one word, what will you say? Somebody? Singing. Praise. Praying, okay. Obedience, okay. Man, y'all are smart. I don't need to preach. I'm just kidding. Most of the time, though, when you say worship, and you'll find this in not just here, but in churches across the world, when people say, oh, we're going to have a worship service, right? The first thing pops in their mind is the singing or the music, right? But, and that's why I said you guys are smart. It's so much more than just that. Is that part of it? Absolutely. Does that help us? Absolutely. It absolutely does. But it's so much more than just showing up on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or even on a special event where somebody's going to play an instrument or two instruments or several instruments, a little music with upbeat tune, and then we sing some songs, right? But it's so much more. Worship is so much more. If you ask for people to define that, that's usually what you'll get, though. They'll talk about music and singing, followed up with some preaching. And most of you will say, boy, I hope it's good preaching, right? And then occasionally somebody will say, well, it's also a time of praise and offerings, and it's a time of prayer. Occasionally those things are mixed in there as well. And some people every once in a while will mention things like our time of fellowship. Can a time of fellowship be a time of worship? Absolutely, absolutely. What about scripture reading? Now, if I said, all right, everybody turn to, Psalm 118. That's a long one, y'all. And I say this morning, this is going to be our worship today. We're going to read that whole psalm. Most of you would be like, right? But scripture reading, if our heart and our mind is in the right place, can be a beautiful form of worship. How about healthy and honest discussion? I'm kind of saying that in a joking manner, but when we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and have a good discussion about something that we find in the Word, or maybe something that maybe we didn't find in the Word, maybe it was something somebody said, but we can have a healthy, honest discussion about that and work through that, guess what can actually happen in that? Worship. Because think about it. Let's say there's a difference going on, a difference of opinion or a difference of understanding, and then you actually sit down and you talk about it and you come to an agreeance on that. Is that not a cause for worship? Hopefully it is, especially if you've allowed what? The Spirit of God to lead and guide that discussion, and it's that brought you to this moment of understanding. See, when I think of things like that, the first thing out of my mind, or in my mind and out of my mouth is, well, boy, I'm glad we worked that out. But it ought to be the other way. I'm glad God helped us figure that out. Isn't he good? Amen. Isn't he great? So even in our discussions, our conversations, we can find a reason to worship. I put another one on here, baptism. We have a baptism. I've said this before. Man, that's a person's new birth. You got a birthday. But if you give your life to Christ, you got a second birthday, a new birthday. And then if you choose to be baptized based on that birthday, man, that ought to be like a party. We ought to clap, we ought to shout, we ought to ring bells, we ought to flash a light, we ought to do whatever. Why? Because it's a big deal. It's a big deal when somebody gives their life to Christ. And we ought to worship that. We ought to celebrate that. Another one is the Lord's Supper. Now, I shouldn't have to explain that, because the Lord's Supper, at its core, guess what, is worship. It ought to be. It ought to be. The Bible tells us that, right? The Bible says, hey, we shouldn't participate if our hearts are not what? Pure and holy. And it's a form of worship. So, every once in a while, you'll get somebody that will explain those things or use that to describe what worship is. But the expression of worship through various musical outlets, while it is important for our week-to-week experience at church, it's not necessarily the only thing, okay? And it's funny. I don't normally title my messages. I started titling my messages because there's somebody in the room, I'm not going to name names, Brian Hupp, that always asks me for a title. He just wants to put it on our media outlet and give it a title. So you know what I titled this morning? What? No music? Do we have to have music? Do we have to have that to worship God? It helps, but it's not necessary, right? Okay, so next week we're going to show up and we're not having music. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want you to take that. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. Because I will say this, and I've told you this. God is using music for me. Sorry. More than ever. More than he ever has. And it's beautiful. It's great. So, but it's not the everything. It's not the everything. And you know, last week I mentioned this. When Jesus said God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth, he was referring to something much deeper in nature than just that playing of instruments or that singing of songs. He was not dismissing those things, because when those things come with a proper motivation, our musical expression can be just that. It can be very authentic. It can be very engaging. It can motivate us. It can move us, right? And it can become this beautiful form of worship. It can become this great way of honoring the Father. See, what Jesus wanted us to understand when he was talking to the woman there and said those words, he wanted us to understand that true worship should be a way of life. That's tough, y'all. It's tough. When you're in a storm, right, Dwight? And you're like, woe is me. That's tough to allow God, right, to bring you to a point of worship. But guess what? Worship, what Jesus was saying is it needs to be a way of life. And it should not be looked at as something we just do, guess what, when we come here or any other church. And look, y'all know me. I'm very transparent. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times when we start talking about worship, the first thing we think about is Sunday morning. And that's it. Well, guess what? If that's all you see worship as, then worship for you is not a way of life. It just isn't. And I'm not being ugly to you. I'm being truthful and honest to you. If you come here and you say, well, I'm going to go to worship service today, but then you go tomorrow and you don't think, man, I need to worship today, and Tuesday I need to worship today, then guess what? Worship maybe is not a way of life. And when Jesus says, hey, God's looking for those who worship in spirit and truth, what he's saying is he's looking for those that worship is a way of life. So guess what we're going to do this morning? I'm going to try the best that I know how to give us some examples, maybe help us grow in that area. Because look, I need it. I need it. I promise you, I need it. Y'all know Monday mornings is usually bad for preachers, right? And when you get up on Monday morning, instead of having this worship mindset and this oh man, everything's awesome, most Monday mornings for preachers, when you get up, you know what the first thing you want to do is? After you shake the cobwebs out and make your cup of coffee, is you want to gripe and complain. I'm being honest. Or resign. No, it ain't that bad. I've had some bad Mondays, but that's the reality. Anybody else ever felt that way? I mean, I know that's just how it is. Jackie, again, we don't coordinate these things. What did he say? He said, he tells people, well, Monday's coming. Thank you, Jackie. No. But when you have that mindset and you wake up and your first thought is not to praise him and honor him, then perhaps you're like me and you need to grow in that area of worship. And maybe we need to change our thinking, right, to one that's not necessarily here, to one that is there. Focus there. So, I want to begin by looking. I mentioned this verse of scripture last week, but I want to go back to Mark chapter 12, because there's a dialogue that's happening with Jesus and this scribe. Now, we read verse 30 last week, but I think we need to go back and get this whole dialogue because there's some cool things in here. But I'm going to try to give you some practical examples from the Word this morning that might help you grow, might help you become more worshipful on a day-to-day basis. So let's just read that first. It says what? "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart.'" And this is what we read last week, right? "With all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Verse 31, "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." I'm going to stop right there, Brian, because I want to read that again. Jesus says this to this scribe when he's answering that question. He gives those two commandments. And I want you to look, there is no other commandment greater than these. Well, he gave two commandments. But then that doesn't say commandments. It's not plural, right? I think that was intentional. Because when we truly love God in the manner that we're supposed to love God, then what's naturally going to come out of that? The love for others. You say, we want to be more like Christ. We want to emulate Christ. That's what Jesus is saying here. Hey, you want to be more like me? You want to emulate me? You want to act like me? Guess what has to become most important to you? Love God and then others. And Jesus says, there is no other commandment greater than these. Let's go on. Verse 32. "And the scribe said to him," don't you love this scribe? You know, like he's fact-checking Jesus, isn't he? "The scribe said to him, 'You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" Now, the scribe is not really on Jesus' side. He's still part of the group trying to do what? Catch him in something, right? But what he don't realize is when he made that statement, he just gave validity to what Jesus was saying, right? So what do you see in that? Well, as we continue addressing our level of worship, the two most important commandments from God give us insight into the two most practical ways in which we can begin worshiping him daily. I mean, think about that. If you put your everything into loving God, and I said this last week, your whole ounce of who you are into loving God. It's not just love for others that pours out of that. Guess what else comes out of that? Somebody mentioned it, obedience, our prayers. Wait, now aren't those ways? I mean, y'all mentioned them, that we can worship him. When our love is where it ought to be, when he is the most important thing to us, then the natural effects of that is, yes, we begin to love other people, but then what we find ourselves doing is on a day-to-day basis is we acknowledge that. And by acknowledging that, we begin to do what? Worship. And have a mindset of worship in everything, for everything. And look, it almost happens to you by accident. Not really. It's not an accident. It's the intent of God and how he works. But that's how we think about it. We wake up one day and say, wow, how did that happen? Well, God got involved. God got in control and not you. And good things come out of that. Great things come out of that. So, he says, love God and love others as he does. You see, it's that which motivates us that leads us to worship. And it's our worship that leads us to our expressions of worship, right? Now, what do you mean by expressions of worship? When we pray, how do we pray? most people do what? They bow or they kneel. Now, perhaps you were taught that was the proper way, right? But what ought to be happening is that bowing and kneeling ought to be an internal thing as much as it is an external thing. You know? I tell you all the time, I pray driving down the road. Aren't y'all glad that I'm not bowing and kneeling while I'm driving down the road physically, right? Or closing my, so look, there's, we have those traditions and those things that we do in those moments that is an outward expression, a physical expression, but I want you to really think about, is that what is really happening internally? Are you doing that because somebody taught you in Sunday school years ago that you've got to bow and close your eyes to say a prayer? Or are you doing that because in your spirit, you're giving honor and reverence to God? And you're saying, hey, in this moment, you're the most important thing. I've said this before. I have left my house and got to where I was going, and I cannot remember how I got there. But I got there. And I don't know what happened on sides of the roads and all that stuff, but I got there. Worship has to be this internal thing that happens with you as you grow closer to the Father, as you go closer to the Savior. True worship does not have to be complex, nor does it have to be showy. I think sometimes we think that if we show up to a worship service and the music's great, I mentioned this a little bit last week in my silly stories that I told, and the music's great and the songs are awesome and people are clapping and all this stuff, and there's this showy part to worship. I think sometimes we show up and we think if all that stuff is fantastic and great, that man, we had a great worship service. But can I just be honest with you? If all that was done to be showy, was it truly authentic worship going out to God? And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling that, because I do believe that in those moments, guess what? There are people who are truly worshiping. And I believe that you can show up sometimes and it turns into something big and awesome that no one expected, right? Musically, the expression of it, people falling on their face before the Lord, people raising their hand. I think sometimes those things occur. Sometimes those things happen. Why? Because true worship began to happen. Because when true worship begins to happen, and I'll tell you this, who knows what will happen? You know, these stuck-up Baptists that stand up here like I do with their hands in their pockets, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold, sometimes you can't keep them in there. You just can't do it. I've done it. I've grabbed a hole down here where they sewed together. You ain't going to win. But then, y'all know that song, Mississippi Squirrel Revival? Something gets a hold of you. It's called the power of God. And you realize in that moment ain't nothing else matters. And before you realize it, you've let go and something happens. Maybe it's not a one, maybe it's not one, maybe it's not two, maybe it's clapping. Maybe you're swaying. Who knows? Who knows? But when worship is authentic and it's coming from the right motivation and the right place, ooh, it's something special, y'all. It's something special. Now, I gave you an example already this morning from the good folks at SCC. They do what they do because they love others and they value life in the same manner that Christ does. And you say, well, they're just running a business. I don't know if you noticed on that thing. It says everything they offer is done how? No charge. Free. You don't do that if you run in a business. You do that because you understand that the service you're offering is a way to honor God. And to show God how important He is and how much you love Him. So FCC gave us an example of what it means to worship daily. You know, we offer some of our greatest worship when we value life in the same manner as Jesus. Remember his words from Luke's gospel. This comes from Luke 12, 6 through 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. I don't know if you heard me say this earlier, but God values you. You mean the world to him. I don't know how, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it or anything. I just want to be honest with you. When God looks at you, he sees something of immense value. My simple question back to you is, when you see God and you think of God, do you see him in the same manner? Do you see him with immense value? To me, that's the most valuable thing that I can ever get a hold of, that I can ever grasp. I also mentioned last week that God had taken me to familiar places in his word, and he had given me more insight into some of those passages. One of those passages, and I didn't understand it, and I started planning this series, and he reminded me of this passage we're going to look at, but one of those passages is filled with this rich practical advice for us about what we should do as a Christian, what we should look like as a new creation. And this is how God taught me. I just want to share it with you. I was raised under this mindset that here's all these things that you must do to be good. And here it's like a checklist, right? When I read back through this, can you read this list that we're going to look at in a minute? And certainly you can make a list and say, oh, I'm good at that one. I'm doing that. But I don't want you to think of it as this checklist. I want you to think of it as, hey, the more I love God, the more I fall in love with my Savior Jesus Christ, these things become more evident in my life. It's not that I'm doing them to be good. They're happening to me because he's good. And then when you realize that, you'll begin to do what? Worship. And praise time. Like Jackie, we kind of joke how Jackie says it because I can't really say it. Jackie gets up here and he says, praise report time. And there's a way he does it that I mess it up every time. But when we truly love the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he is our everything. Some of these things we're going to look at here in a minute will begin to fall in place. And guess what? We'll worship him. And look, we'll praise him. Not just on Sunday morning when somebody says, praise report time. At our job, at the grocery store, at the gas station, at the off-ramp on the freeway or the on-ramp on the freeway. When they're not letting you in and you want to get frustrated. No. Maybe there's a reason that they didn't let you in. Instead of getting frustrated, how about saying, thank you, Jesus, you protected me from whatever it was you protected me from. Who knows, right? Who knows? So, Colossians chapter 3. And I'm not going to per se teach through this because this is very deep, very rich. We'd be here for weeks if we really break it down. So what I want you to look at is the things that when your love for Christ is authentic and genuine and true, and only you know that, but when it's that way, the things that's mentioned in here, guess what they'll begin to do? They'll show. I want you to pick those things out, okay? Make a list in your mind, not to check, but just to have there, just to have there, okay? Beginning in verse 1, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ. Don't you love how that starts with a question? Not to cause doubt, but to make sure you know what? That your heart belongs to him. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ who is in you... When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I'm going to stop because I could preach for months on that right there. Right? You want to become a worship person, somebody that worships daily? Man, just read that over and over. Because what does it say? Stop thinking about all this mess. Stop worrying about all this mess. And boy, we're about to get bombarded with mess, y'all. It's already picking up, gaining steam. Now look, is it important? It is important because we need to put leaders, correct leaders, in that place. But man, if you worry about it and you fret over it, I'm just going to ask you to stop doing that. The Bible says, Paul said what? Start thinking about heaven. Start thinking about Christ and where he's at. And stop thinking about all this mess. You know why? Because that's great and this ain't great. This ain't even close. And he says, hey, you want to become more worshipful? Then guess what? Set your mind on the things above and not the things down here. Not the things down here. Let's keep going. Look what it says. This is strong, y'all. Put to death. And then he's going to give us a list. Y'all know what that means, put to death? If something dies, it's done, isn't it? So what's Paul saying here to the church at Colossae? Stop doing these things. He ain't saying stop them now and then pick them up later. He's no, put these to death. Signed, sealed, delivered, stamp on it. Put it to death. Leave it alone. And then he gives us this list. Let's look. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about that new creature that you are. If you're a new creature, guess what? Those things are old. Those things are in the past. Those things, as Paul says here, must be what? Dead to you. Stop hanging on to some of that stuff, y'all. If it's your BC days, your before Christ days, now we have to struggle. We have to work through some of those things. But man, at some point in time, you got to let them go. You got to turn it over to God. You got to turn it over to Christ. You got to turn it over to the Holy Spirit. You just got to let it go. And you say, well, easier said than done. May be true. Because there's not a person sitting in this room this morning that don't have at least one thing that you just, God, you just can't let it go. But Jesus says, Paul says, right here, what does he say? Put it to death. You're new. That old is dead and gone and passed away. And you're new. You got a new you're a new creation. You got a new birth. Put it to death. Move on. And it gives us that list. And look, do I need to break that list down? I don't think so. If you read that list and you really think about that list, man, we struggle sometimes, don't we? The world we live in will prove that to us. Verse 8, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Anybody ever been mad and angry? Anybody ever allowed your wrath and your malice to come out of that anger? Can I just be honest with you? You can't worship God if that's what's happening. You just can't. You can try. You can fake it till you make it if you want to. But if you're upset and you're mad and you're angry and the actions that flow out of that, That's not pleasing to God. You're not truly worshiping God. That's why Paul is telling us here, put it all away. Verse 9 says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You want to become more worshipful? Get right here. Start reading, start searching, start digging, start studying, start asking questions, start having good, open, honest, genuine conversations with people. And I've said this before, I don't know it all. I don't pretend to know it all. I don't. Boy, I wish sometimes I did, because I get some questions that I go, whew, well, that's a tough one. But I'll say this, and I've already said it one time this morning, God is not the author of the gray area. We author the gray area. You know how we get rid of the gray areas? We study, and we read, and we learn, and we allow our knowledge to grow, and then guess what we have to do after that? You want to worship God? Take the knowledge He's given you and share it with someone. To include what? The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People say, well, I just can't do that. Well, you can't. But when you get out of the way and let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you, guess what you'll find yourself doing? I remember being on a mission trip in Mississippi, in the poorest town in our country per capita, at a block party. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. I think I might have preached maybe once or twice, maybe. It's been so long ago, I can't hardly remember. But I can remember handing hot dogs out to people. People in desperation, in the Spirit of God saying, hey, you just need to tell that person that Jesus loves them and see where it goes. I showed up that night, and we had a tent revival, mosquitoes big as my foot, eating us alive. And this is, I thought we was going to be there, you know, good Baptist tent revival, we'd be there about an hour, hour and a half. Nope, we didn't even start good in an hour, hour and a half. We started at 7, and about midnight we left. One of them men that I gave a hot dog to, and I said, Jesus loves you, got saved that night. And then they had a baptismal just like ours. That's why we was there till midnight. They said, we ain't waiting. Let's do it now. Not only did he give his life to Christ, he got baptized. Now get this. Y'all know my affection for hot dogs. If you hadn't been around me, I don't like them. But God used that old hot dog and a simple statement of Jesus loves you to bring that guy to a tent revival, and it changed his life. And can I say this? All I was the person standing there. The Spirit of God was there. And that's why that young man got saved. That's why that young man got saved. I think of him from time to time. Don't remember his name. Ain't got a clue if he's even still alive. But I think of him from time to time, and I pray, God, I hope he's okay. I hope he's okay. Get in your Bible. You want to become a more worshipful person? Start studying. Start asking questions. Grow a little bolder in your faith. Start listening to how the Spirit leads you. Verse 12, he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Now look, we get a compare and contrast. 1 through 11 is talking all this stuff about the old you, right? And he said, hey, the old you did these things. The old you did these things. Stop doing those things. And then you get to verse 12, and Paul says, put on then. And then he says, because you are what? God's chosen ones. He says, holy and beloved. I want to tell you this. There's nothing you can do to become holy and beloved. It's only because of Him. He says, because you are God's chosen one, holy and beloved. Put these things on, compassionate hearts. Boy, they sound better than all those other ones, don't they? Compassionate hearts, kindness. Here's one of my favorites. Humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, whoo boy, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you almost also must forgive. And then he goes in verse 14, he says, and above all these, put on love. Go back to the two of these greatest commandments. That's really one. What is the command in that? It doesn't say like, does it? It says love God. Love God. And then love others. And then Paul says right here, what does he say? And above all things. He's repeating what Jesus said to that scribe in his own way, isn't he? He says, these things is awesome, those compassionate hearts, that kindness, that humility, that meekness, those patience. But he says, but above all those things, put this one on. And then he uses that four-letter word, love. Why? Because it binds everything together in perfect harmony. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Look, here's where songs come in, y'all. Is it part of our worship? Absolutely. But can I just say this? It's way down the list. But we put so much importance on it. Is it important? Yeah, but it's way down the list. And he says, what this? And sing. Let me find it. I lost my place. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now look, I might step on toes here. I just got to say this though. Okay? That gives us a list. Psalms. You know, most of the psalms were written to be put to music. Okay? Not all of them, but most of them. And they're meant to either be played, or they're meant to be read while music is playing, or they're meant to actually be sung. Okay? And then what comes next? Hymns. And then there's this third one that says spiritual songs. We got to stop fighting over the style or the way we like it. Well, I ain't going to go there. All they do is sing them hymns. Well, hallelujah. We ought to be singing hymns. Well, I ain't going to go over there. All they do is sing them spiritual Christian contemporary songs. Well, hallelujah. We ought to be singing spiritual songs. Guess what we don't hardly ever do, though? The Psalms. You want to become worshipful? You want your life to become this daily worship of the Father? Read a psalm. And after you read it, say, well, I wonder how they sang that. And then try to sing it. You can find where artists, go Google it, you can find where some artists have put some of the psalms to music and made songs out of it. But look, do it for yourself. The Bible says we're supposed to what? Sing a new song. Guess what? Read a psalm and try to sing it. Paul says, guess what? When we gather together, right? When we teach each other, we admonish each other, we love on each other, we try to get each other smarter by sharing our wisdom. He says, then after you've done all those things, guess what? Sing some psalms. Oh, by the way, sing some hymns. And oh, by the way, mix in some of those spiritual songs as well. We got to stop this back and forth stuff. If it is a song written to bring honor and praise and glory to the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, it's not a bad thing. There's some out there disguised. We got to make sure we ain't playing the disguised ones and playing the authentic ones. But man, when I read the Bible, we ought to include them all. We ought to include them all. It says, do it with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then verse 17, y'all know this verse. And whatever you do in word or deed, do some things. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Anybody in here want to stop just worshiping on Sunday morning? I do. I'm trying, y'all. I really am. I really am. And if you want to be that way, hey, stop kicking and screaming and making me drag you down this road. Help me out. Make it a little easier on me. I'm just picking a little bit. But when we start talking about worship, it's so much more than on a Sunday morning with a karaoke on a TV or a band, or a pianist, or an organist, or a hymn, or a psalm, or a spiritual song. It's part of it, but it's got to be more than that. It's got to start with our heart. It's got to start with where our heart lies and who it is that we love. And I'm going to continue, because I want to hit this, and you say, oh no, is he really going to read this next section? If you know Colossians 3, you know what's coming. Look at verse 18. Wives, I didn't even get to rest out. Submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. We like to pick on that. We're already joking about it. Well, a woman, you're supposed to submit. You know what that's really talking about, y'all? When your heart's right and your wife's heart's right and your kids' hearts are right, it's a beautiful thing to God, because what they see is a family who loves Him. And then through that love, guess what's happening? Worship. When a husband honors the wife and a wife honors the husband and then the children honor mom and dad, God looks at that and says, wow, they get it. This is what it's supposed to be. And you know what? Paul says when he sees that and he looks upon it, it pleases him. He's pleased when even in our home, through our families, he's worshiped. He's worshiped. Now look, is my family perfect? Ooh, not even close. Not even close. Not even close. But I do know that there have been times where God has looked and he's been pleased. I just want to get rid of the times that he looks and he's not, and try to make more of the ones where he looks and he is. He looks and he is. And he goes on and he says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And I'm just going to be honest, it's hard sometimes. They act in... Anyway, you know how kids can act. And sometimes you want to say, you want to stir them up a little bit. The Bible says, hey, be careful how you do that. What the reason for that is, right? He says, fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Paul repeats this concept to us several times in Colossians, doesn't he? Make it about God. Stop worrying about the world. Stop worrying about men in this world. Make it all about God, right? Whatever you do, do it for God. Whatever you do it for Him and not for men, not for the world. And then verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Remember I said God doesn't make the gray, we make the gray? God's very black and white. You either are or you are not. You say, what do you mean by that? Your heart either belongs to Him or it doesn't. Only you know that. Only you know that. And you say, well, gosh, I'm buying into what the preacher's talking about this morning. I'd love to worship Him more. Well, can I just be honest with you? If you have not give your life to Christ, that's where you got to start. So all those bad things on that list that he says put to death, guess what helps you put those to death? A new life. A new life in Christ. And that's where you got to start. The Bible says what? If you give your life to Christ, if you believe that he is who he said he is, right? He did what he did for you, and you have faith in that, and you put your trust in that, the Bible says, guess what? You'll be saved. You'll be saved. And when that occurs, guess what happens? This process in you begins to take place. And you change. And all that old stuff, guess what? You might struggle with some of them, but most of them will begin to go away. Y'all won't believe this, but boy, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, especially when I first got in the military, boy, I could make some people blush with my language. And I was saved. I was. But I wasn't dedicated. I believed I was saved. I had faith in that salvation. But I had not made Jesus Christ my Lord. And when I decided, you know what, I'm going to do that, I didn't have to say, God, take this from me. It just stopped. And I can remember some of my soldiers walking up to me and saying, you're acting different. What's wrong with you? And oh, how sweet it was when I could say, ain't nothing wrong with me. There was some things wrong with me, but Jesus got a hold of it. And he's just fixing some things. He's taking care of some things. And if you dedicated to Christ, if you give your life to him, but you've heard these things, and you say, well, you know, God, there are some things that I need to work on. Maybe I'm not where I need to be. Most of us, I think, probably fit in that box most of the time. If that's where you find yourself this morning, don't leave today without at least making some type of commitment to say, all right, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. Let's get real about this. I promise you, he's real about it already. He's just patiently waiting with a compassionate heart, a loving heart on you to say, I hear you. Let's get real. Let's get real because we got something serious to go do. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I'm worshiping him every day with everything, in everything. Why? Because he is everything. We're going to play a song of invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm just going to say this one more time. This is about you and him. If you're not where you need to be, challenge, my encouragement for you is don't walk through those double doors and then out the ones to the right without fixing some things, making it right. If it's give your life to Christ, I told you earlier, boy, you do that, we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. Because it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. If you've already done that, but you're not living the way you ought to live and you know that, hey, guess what? He knows that too. He's just waiting on you. He's just waiting on you. Say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be real and I want to be serious. If you need to do that, do it today. I'll be here if you need me.
All to
So, Father, we thank you again for your words today. Lord, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for correcting us. But most importantly, thank you for loving us. Father, we ask for your provision and your protection as we go from this place. Lord, may our lives not just be a light in this community, but may our lives bring you worship. May they bring you honor and glory and praise. Not just today, but every day. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And it's in your mighty and holy name we pray. Amen.